RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
On this Tuesday morning, getting used to it. 888-808-1019. The hours are all over the place. I was talking Glizzies yesterday, and here we are talking Aaron Glenn again today. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on this Tuesday morning into Tuesday afternoon here on The Fan. And, you know, it's painful as a fan, and it's been painful as a football fan. We'll get to how happy and joyous it is to be a Knick fan. We'll get to the other goings around in the NFL. We'll get to maybe even some baseball, as boring as that is right now. Do something! Both the Mets and Yankees need to do something, but let's talk about how depressed we are yet again, because it's tough as a football fan, and this weekend was the epitome of it, right? Watching the Giants in that manner, rooting for them to lose, as I think most Giant fans were. Even if you're not a tanker, at this point it makes no sense to root for them to win necessarily. But we don't have to have that discussion all morning long. But there's nothing worse than feeling that way as a fan. And then you watch the Jet game and how brutal that was. And the other aspect of how brutal it is for a fan is when you see something as a fan, you see something the organization needs to do, a direction they need to go, something that needs to happen to stop the madness of these two teams being as dreadful as any other organization in the sport. And it's clear as day what needs to happen. And you know the organization's not going to do it. You know it. You know it. And for the New York Giants, we know Joe Shane needs to go, and he's not going to. And for the New York Jets, maybe some Jet fans don't see it just yet, but if you don't take what happened this past Sunday against the Patriots and follow it up with the way Aaron Glenn spoke to the media after the game and what he said yesterday and what he said this entire season, and you don't look at the way they've played, the way he's coached them, the things that he has backed off of consistently at every turn this entire season. Because you look at it now, and the latest was obviously yesterday. If you haven't heard it, we'll play it at some point. He comes out after the game on Sunday and for the first time finally acknowledges what we have all seen over the entire month of December since they beat the Falcons, which looked like a completely different football team last night. But since they beat the Falcons this entire month of December, the effort level has been in question. There is no doubt about that. And yes, they're playing a quarterback who shouldn't be in the NFL. They traded away two of their best defensive players. We know all the stuff we talked about over the last month. The fact of the matter is we have seen lousy teams. We have seen the Browns beat the Steelers. We have seen the Saints play well down the stretch with a second-round quarterback. We have seen other teams. The Falcons had nothing to play for last night. We have seen other teams get off the deck and at least give you representative football. Hell, the Raiders kept it close against the Texans before finally giving up on the season. The Giants won a football game and kicked the crap out of the Raiders on Sunday. We have seen other teams find a way to muster enthusiasm to play a competitive football game, everyone except the Jets. And finally, the coach makes recognition of that and tells you he sees it too, which is what you're looking for as a fan, to feel like you understand, you're all on the same page, even if you're losing, at least we all understand how bad it is. He finally gives you that, and then yesterday walks it back. And he has walked back everything. And here's my question to you, Jet fans, and we said it yesterday when I was with Jerry in the morning. We didn't take a ton of calls on it. I want to take your calls on it today at 888-808-1019. What exactly has Aaron Glenn done? What exactly has Aaron Glenn continued that he promised at the start of the season? And you can't just tell me dysfunctional organizations fire their coach after 1 year. And you can't just tell me that would be so typical Jets. And you can't just tell me everybody deserves a chance, because I get that. And in a different time in football, maybe that would have worked. But Aaron Glenn came in here because of why. Think of the reasons he came in here. And today we'll focus on, since we're talking about these conversations, understanding the market. You remember that one? He understands what the plight of the Jet fan, right? He was a Jet. He was a great player for the Jets. He can tell you how cold and windy it was in the AFC Championship game in 1998. And he understands the media and he understands the fan base. How in the world could you possibly make that claim today after seeing him coach this entire season? And now take back the only comments the fan base has agreed with over the last year, walk it back, and then proceed to tell us, when asked about what we can expect and what we should expect and what he has seen from his team where he is proud of them. Because remember that one? The Jets were going to be a team that you can be proud of. And then what did he do with that statement? Well, he walked it away and said, well, I didn't mean today. Eventually we're going to be proud of them, I promise you. But not today or this year. But if you were looking for a moment to be proud of your New York Jets, look no further than the end of the third quarter, beginning of the fourth quarter, in a game against the Jacksonville Jaguars that they were losing 41-13. If you're looking for a moment, Jet fans, if you're trying to find some semblance of sanity and you want to go back and you want to put all the negativity, because McMonagle is filled with it and everybody's filled with it, if I just want to escape all the madness and go and watch my football team and take even just a small segment of who they're supposed to be and who I can expect them to be under Aaron Glenn moving forward, because we're going to keep him and I need to have that faith. Let me see, where can I go find it? Oh, well, they ran the football pretty well when they went down 41-13. And he showed the whole team this. It reminded me of the story of the Yankees showing the 2004 ALCS when they were down 0-3 to the Astros, trying to say, see, it's been done before. You can come back. The Red Sox did it against us. We can have a team here. Look, we ran the football for two drives, and we got chippy. This is what he's telling you is what's expected of the New York Jets. And I would tell you, and I think every fan would tell you, that nothing we have seen, nothing that we have seen should be what we expect from the New York Jets. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And you watch them give up. I mean, everything that he had promised, he has either walked back like he did yesterday. He can't even hold the comments. Because you know what happened? He made the comments that the effort was questionable. You heard in some of the sound that Crystal Presti played and some of the sound we played yesterday and from other players that they didn't like those comments. And immediately, well, I watched the film and, you know, I think that was unfair. No, it wasn't unfair. The product on the field that we've had to watch is unfair. And to walk back those comments tells you everything. It tells you for the first time, maybe he's afraid, but he shouldn't be. Because I have no doubt that Woody Johnson is not going to fire him. And I'm not saying that he can't improve or he can't be a better coach. But all I'm asking is right now, today, when he took over the team, the expectations weren't to necessarily go to the playoffs or be a dominant football team or win the division or have the turnaround that the New England Patriots had. But the expectation was he chose the quarterback for a reason, right? He had a 30-second meeting with Aaron Rodgers, you know, dismissed him, brought in Justin Fields, his hand-picked choice, along with Darren Mooji, the general manager, paid him $20 million to be this quarterback, be the quarterback of this team. They had no game plan for him whatsoever. The expectation was to have a running offense, right? A team that was going to be a smash mouth team. A team that was going to line up in front of their man and beat the man in front of them. At the very least, they have Breece Hall. They have Wilson. They have a running quarterback. That will be the identity of this football team. He's a defensive coach. He's a defensive back coach for a team that hasn't had an interception all year, by the way. And we'll get to that at 888-808-1019. But the identity was going to be smash mouth, beat the man in front of you football. We haven't seen that outside of maybe week one and a couple of weeks in the middle of the season at all this year. At all. It was going to be a team we're supposed to be proud of. Haven't seen that at all. And now we're told, well, you shouldn't have expected that right away. Big ships move slow. Everything that was supposed to be, from understanding the team, understanding the media, understanding the fan base, building a culture, giving a team you could be proud of, playing fundamental football, eliminating the turnovers, creating turnovers, playing good defense, having an identity, building culture, playing hard to the last whistle. I mean, I could go on. Every one of those things that was promised. Playoffs weren't promised. Winning wasn't promised. I understand that. I understand that. And I think most Jet fans would have understood that and understood that. But there were a laundry list of things that were supposed to be things that were promised from this new regime. And outside of accepting trades that were offered to them that were no-brainers, and they get credit for it. I'm not trying to diminish credit for it. Muji deserves credit. That's one hell of a haul for Sauce Gardner. It's a good trade for Williams. There's no doubt. They made good trade deadline deals, got a bunch of first-round picks, and for about a week and a half, the Jet fan base was pretty damn excited about the future prospects. But outside of that, there has not been one. I was listening to Willie Colon driving in today. Point blank asked, give me one positive from this coach and from this team. He can't come up with it. He watches them every day. It's his job to come up with something positive. Can't do it. And we're going to all sit back and say, well, you can't fire him because that's dysfunction. Dysfunction is seeing the problem in your face and ignoring it. And right now, unfortunately, I don't know how you say that this coach and this staff is anything other than a problem. Where's the positive from it? What has he done to bring you anything? And then he finally makes comments we can all agree with after being, you know, confrontational at the very least with the media, not telling you who the quarterback's going to be up until the day of, like pulling all the stuff that, you know, Bill Belichick and you know, on the Cincinnati and champions can do. He finally says a comment where he's calling out his team after praising their effort in another blowout loss the week prior, finally acknowledges the effort's not there. And then he recognizes, well, the players don't like it, and what does that say about me? You know what? I watched the film. It wasn't as bad as I thought. And I got to tell you, looking back on over the last couple weeks, there was a really good drive in the fourth quarter against the Jags when we were down 41-13. That game ended 41-20, just to remind you all. We are staring at an obvious thing, and we're coming up with backhanded reasons why we shouldn't make the change, because firing a coach after 1 year is unfair, because firing a coach after 1 year is dysfunctional, and the Jets can't continue to be dysfunctional. What about this team and the obvious that I've talked about forever, the decision that is looming? Now, I know with the Falcons, where they were just talking about at the end of the show, the Falcons' win last night eliminates them from possibly getting the first overall pick. They were never getting the first overall pick. But they're going to have a top pick. They're going to have a bunch of picks to be willing to move up. The Giants will be ahead of them. Right now, it feels like a one quarterback draft, but we have no idea how it plays out from here on out. We have no idea if the quarterback from Oregon is going to come out. We have no idea who else is going to rise. We have no idea who the Jets are going to feel like their next young great quarterback is. right? And even if you are going to go the veteran route, the last time they chose to go the veteran route, they picked Justin Fields, who can't throw. And if you don't know, ask the owner. Although, don't ask him much, because he's not that smart. When it comes to football, at least. But that decision looming is the biggest decision the franchise has over the next 4 to 5 years. That is a franchise deciding decision. Same as the Giants, as we're going to get to, trading, making that trade. And we'll get to that in a little bit. But this is a franchise-defining decision. And developing that quarterback and building a culture with that team, with the new quarterback, is what's going to define the next half a decade of Jets football. And you can't make decisions based on, well, we really shouldn't do this after only 1 year. I mean, I can't tell you one good reason why we shouldn't, but I feel like we should. The fact of the matter is, he chose a quarterback who can't play. The fact of the matter is, he chose a running quarterback and didn't really come up with a game plan for that. The fact is, he was brought here as a culture builder, and his team, without question, has let go of the rope as much as any other organization in football outside of the Raiders, who publicly did so. And it's hard to sit here and go over the list of promises that were made and scratch them off one by one and say anything other than, do they deserve the right to make this decision? Does he deserve the right to make this decision? Should he be the man leading the Jets into this new era of football? Because it's very hard, and I would dare you and dare say impossible, to give me significant answers other than, oh, well, that's unfair. It's only been 1 year. He's a defensive backs coach who's going to have, who already broke the record and is a week away from having the first team in NFL history to not have an interception throughout the entire season. His defense is worse than it was last year when it fell apart after the firing of Robert Saleh. Like, what? Name me one thing. And yesterday, embarrassing himself further by going back on the only comment that made sense over the last month, and then giving you Jets football is the one drive in the fourth quarter against the Jaguars. It's laughable. It's become sad. It's become laughable. It's become an embarrassment to the level of which is even exceeding the Jet norm. He was supposed to come in here, because let's not forget, as we wrap it up here, the biggest promise of all. This will no longer be the same old Jets. And he's right. That's the one promise he kept. They're worse. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Quick break. We will come back.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Monaco here with you on The Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest prices on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. 888-808-1019. The great Dove Kramer on the other side, along with Ray Jarvis, helping us out this midday, morning into afternoon, as we got you here on Tuesday as we get ready for the new year. And hopefully some new faces around our football teams, because it's that bad. It's that bad. And I'm sick of it. It's year in and year out. I mean, how many times can we do this? Like, it's even questioning callers to wonder what I love about sports, because all I do is complain about these two football teams all football season long. And I was optimistic about the Giants. And I've been optimistic about the Jets when they had Aaron Rodgers. I had them in the AFC Championship game both of the years that he was here. I thought they were going. But they break your heart every year. It's just, it's unbelievable. Michael in West Hempstead. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Chris. Love that lead-in, brother.
Yes.
Listen, let's share something good for a second. What do you love most about sports? I'm going to give you a little list here.
Okay. Oh, you're going to give me options. Okay.
Yeah, you're going to get options. Mm-hmm. You got five quickies. All right. The satisfaction of winning.
Mm-hmm.
The talk that takes the joy of being right.
What's that
having
like?
Having it on as company instead of the news.
Mm-hmm.
The emotion of rivalry, loving and hating those emotions. And last, but cheering the greatness in the big moments, or is it something totally different?
That is a good point. Everyone loves winning. Everyone loves cheering and winning in the great moments. The two giant Super Bowls that I really remember, I vaguely remember. For some reason, I remember the 90 championship game more than I remember the Super Bowl against the Bills. I don't know why. I remember being at my grandfather's house and, Montana going down. I kind of remember that more than I remember the Super Bowl. But obviously the two Super Bowls from the Giants, the NFC championship game in 2000 was incredible. As far as football goes in my football fandom. And then the Yankees, that brief time where it almost became, passe. It was a fait accompli. They were going to win the World Series every year. Remember what those days were like? But sure, the big moments, the celebratory moments are great, whatever. But I would tell you, and I've said this before, and it's slightly off topic, but my favorite thing in all of sports, like not just in general, like if I had to pick the one thing I love most about being a sports fan is what you said about the companionship of baseball. I hate to sound sappy and weird and Ken Burnsy, but like I love baseball. I love the idea that it's there every single day. I love that I come home every night and I know the Yankee game is on and I know the Met game is on. Get in the car on Saturday, driving around, listening to it on my phone when I'm doing things. Like, it is a companion every single day. And I think that's why maybe my baseball takes for some Yankee fans are considered, I don't know, soft or Yankee homerism, because I love the companionship of baseball, and thankfully I don't ever have to know what a miserable companion a baseball season can be. Like, I don't have to know what it's like to be the Pittsburgh Pirates, and let's be fair, even the New York Mets at times, where a season is dead in July and I'm just riding through it because I love baseball. Like, every single year, as disappointing as they end, throughout the entire season, I have a companion of, I know, big game, important game, need to win this game. Every single night. That is my favorite thing about sports. I belong to the belonging I feel to the teams, the importance I put on it, and the lack of understanding people who don't have that same thing. Look at, like, my wife doesn't understand how intense I am or how I need to watch the Yankees, and I will DVR it. And if someone even starts to talk about Yankees at an event or at a party or something and I'm DVRing the game, stop talking. The game's going to be on. I'm going to watch the game at midnight tonight. Don't talk about it. That's my favorite thing about sports. The feeling like you're part of it, the belonging to it, and specifically with baseball, the ride along every single day. That's my favorite thing about sports. Luigi in Yorktown Heights. What's up, Luigi?
Hey, happy holidays. I hope everything is well.
Thank you. Happy holidays to you.
Listen, the only way I could describe being a Jets fan, my family had tickets in Shea Stadium. My mm-hmm. father gave them up before he died with the PSL. And the only way I could describe it is it's like having a child that does drugs and can't get off them. No matter how much you think they change or how much things you think get better, it never really does. And to sit here and be a Jets fan, like I am my whole life, and to watch every game with depravity, I sit there and I watch these games, and while other people expect their team to win, I'm like, it's like a black hole for people. Like, Aaron Glenn comes and he plays for the Jets. I know they traded him at the end of his career, and I know he came back and he was full of life and everything. but they just, they take it out of you. Then on top of it, this guy, Woody Johnson, the team I think is worth $8 billion or $6 billion, mm-hmm. and the only way he would sell it is if he got doubled his price. The only person that would probably buy it is a Saudi prince at this point. And the way they're going, nothing matters, because if they don't sell the tickets to Jet fans, they sell it to the fans of the other team. My son plays hockey in Connecticut, and there was a friend of mine. He was going to the game, and he's a Patriots fan. It's a no-win situation for the Jets. They're going to draft the wrong quarterback. They're going to get a guy that has it's the truth.
Yeah, but you can't think like that. Like, is Aaron Glenn going to draft? Is going to be part of the decision making? Is Muji had a pretty good draft, right? And he did at least understand that he had to say yes to the two offers. Now, we don't know exactly how those deals went, but the idea that they were even willing to offer that's a great couple of trades. So you have a little bit of confidence in Muji. But you got to have faith that if you put the right people in place, that a right decision can be made. Like, I think that Joe Shane has done a terrible job as the Giants general manager, and I think he should no longer be in that position next year. Doesn't change the fact that he drafted Jackson Dart, and we could say, and I have, that it's Brian Daboll's decision. He was the one who pounded the table for him. He's the general manager. It had to go through him. If he felt like Jackson Dart wasn't the pick, he wouldn't have made it. He gets credit for it. And right now, I feel like that's the saving grace and why I feel like the team could be good next year. Malik Nabers was a good pick. Is it easy? Was he drafting at the top? Is it pretty safe to draft wide receivers? I mean, Marvin Harrison Jr. was drafted ahead of him, and right now, based on what's going on with them and their quarterback situation, his injury history, like, even though Nabers missed the entire season, you feel like Malik Nabers has been the more dynamic player in that position. So, like, he gets credit for that. Abdul Carter, I think, you know, we talked about how many pressures he had this year. I don't think he's a bust at all. I think that proves, at the very least, he's not a bust. I don't know if it proves he's one of the best defensive rookies in the league or, you know, anything like that, but It's a lot of winning and beating the man in front of you when you get pressures, and I don't think you could be declared a bust 1 year in, no matter what's gone on off the field, when you have as many, you know, rushes as that from a defensive end inside linebacker. So those are good picks. You had a good draft. A couple of good picks here or there. Burns was a good trade. Doesn't mean he's not inept, incomplete, and like, I still think you can make good decisions. And you still have, you can't be afraid. Like, I guess that's my point with the drafting of the quarterback. You can't be afraid. So many Jet fans are afraid to make that pick. So many. So many. Oh, we need a quarterback. We need a quarterback. And then when it comes to the draft, you're like, I don't want to draft him. I want to go get Malik Willis. Let's just go get Malik Willis because, you know, he had two good games in Green Bay. Let's not try and find our future franchise quarterback because I'm afraid they'll screw that up. And they certainly have in the past. Doesn't mean they will moving forward. And it doesn't mean you don't take the chance. But that decision is that important. That, and I've been saying this for weeks, even before the rope's been let go by the team. And even before, you know, he's backed off some of these comments and said even more ridiculous things and, you know, made it even worse over the last month. I was always questioning whether or not Aaron Glenn, with the way he handled the quarterback position, should be in a position to make this decision. And I feel even more strongly about it today. But that doesn't mean that the Jets shouldn't do things or the Jets are incapable of doing things. They're not cursed. I don't believe in curses. And if they take the right quarterback, if they end up with Mendoza somehow, or they end up with the quarterback who is the guy, it will change. Maybe not day one, but it will change. Charlie, Charlie.
Yeah.
Are you going to talk to me? Who's next to you? Go ahead. What's going on?
Yeah, I'm here with my Rydell rep right now.
Okay.
Giving all my football equipment back.
Oh, giving all your football equipment back. Why?
Football season's over. We've got to have everything redone by Rydell.
Okay, I got you. I still have my high school Rydell helmet in my garage.
Yeah, well, no wonder why Kyrie's going broke. You're a thief. You wonder why the taxes are going up over there.
Hey, that's ridiculous. I was in the Senior Bowl. They let me keep it. When you play in the Senior Bowl, they let you keep it.
Well, that's why, you know, it's funny. That's why I'm giving back the equipment. If the kids have played in the Senior Bowl, their equipment is going back now because all my equipment went out a couple of weeks ago. But, listen, I always agree with you, and I don't believe I'm saying it, but Glenn's got to come back. There's only one guy who ruined our season this year with the Jets, and it might be some other reasons, and it's Woody Johnson, the owner. Because what happened was Aaron Rodgers should have came back. That was the first decision they made wrong. We needed a quarterback. Aaron Rodgers should have been the guy. But Woody's ego let him run him out of here. And that was really a downfall.
That could be part of it. But, I mean, do you think Aaron Glenn wanted to keep him? Because all reports indicate the opposite, including what...
I think it would have been tough. I think it would have been tough with both those guys and their male egos in there. But I think they could have worked it out. I mean, Tomlin and him were working out. They got a good relationship going out there. I mean, that was a big choke job last week. And, of course, we had a big 14 parlay, but we can talk about that another day.
Yeah.
But it's a very tough season, and I'm tired of the revolving door. We got to give someone a chance here.
Revolving door? How many years did Salah have? I've heard Jet fans and I heard Jet fans saying that a bunch can't have the revolving door. Robert Saleh got an extra year than most people thought. Robert Saleh wasn't fired after 1 year. Todd Bowles wasn't fired after 1 year. Robert Saleh got plenty of time. He didn't win enough, and nobody seemed to be upset at the time, which I thought was a disaster to fire him midseason, and clearly that turned out to be the case. But overall, I'm not telling you he had to keep his job. He didn't do a good enough job, and he'll probably get another head coaching job. But, like, it's not like a – it's not the – you can't have the revolving door. You got to win. You got to win, or at least show competence. You don't get to just keep your job because – oh, it's a revolving door. Like, even last year, people accused me of saying that with Brian Daboll. I wanted Brian Daboll back because I believed in his ability to develop a young quarterback. And I knew the Giants were making that decision. It wasn't about, well, I don't want to fire another head coach, or I'm tired of this, and every 2 years they're firing another head coach. Like, that was part of it. I don't think I agree with you that overall sentiment of constantly going through coaches becomes, you know, detrimental to the organization. I don't disagree with that necessarily. But you got to give me a reason. Brian Daboll had a lousy 2 years, and half the fan base wanted him fired. And I disagreed, and I wanted him back, not because I thought he was a great head coach, not because I thought this person or that person screwed him and he was really doing a good job and he's not the responsible for the losses. None of that. Or that he absolutely deserved basis on what he did to keep the job. I felt he deserved the job because they were going in to draft a quarterback, and I firmly believed... And I think even though he was fired midseason, I somewhat have been proven right that he is good with young quarterbacks. So at least I had something to point to. They're drafting a young kid. It's going to be the beginning of this with a new franchise drafted young rookie quarterback. And I believe everything based in Brian Daboll's track record.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
What he did with Josh Allen, what he was able to do year one with Daniel Jones. He even won some games with Tommy DeVito. I believe he works well with quarterbacks. He's the guy I want. They hired him for that specific reason. They've never let him do it. I believe he's good at it. They're drafting a young quarterback. I want him to be that guy. Now, he ended up getting fired. They lost a ton. Didn't work out. Fine. But at least I could point to a reason and make an argument. You can't just tell me, oh, I don't want revolving doors. Give me a reason. Even if it's just one. Even if it's just my Brian Daboll can coach young quarterbacks, they're going to draft a young quarterback. That was my one reason why I wanted Daboll back this year. If you're a Jet fan, you're calling me up and telling me Glenn needs to stay. Give me a reason. And don't tell me, well, it's somebody else's fault. And don't tell me that, you know, I don't want revolving doors. Give me the specific reason that Aaron Glenn is the right guy for the job. Why this coach is the correct coach. Not because I don't know who else they'll hire. Why is Aaron Glenn the guy? Eric in Rivervale. What's up, Eric?
T-Mac, how are you, brother?
Good. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Real quick, looking forward to the show next week. Congratulations again, brother.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Awesome, dude. Yep.
Now I can't even figure out what time slot you're in, man. It's been all over the place.
Right now, well, listen, I've been gradually going through the day parts. Yesterday mornings, today midday, tomorrow afternoon drive, and then Friday, the final overnight. The final McMonagle and the overnights will be Friday morning until 5 a.m. I think it's 1 to 5, and then we start. I'll still do Saturdays, and I'll do this Saturday as well, and then we're starting January 5th.
Rock and roll, man. Well, one more midnight run, so I love
it. That's it.
I couldn't have said it better than you did in your open, for sure. I mean, New York football, it is absolutely unbelievable that these teams cannot get out of their own way. I mean, I actually had this argument with my twin brother, who's a Giants fan, and, you know, whose situation is worse? It's hard to argue. I mean, one team doesn't have a coach, arguably doesn't have a GM. One team doesn't have a quarterback, maybe doesn't have a coach. Seems like we have a GM. It's like, you know, pick your poison. It's bad.
I hear you, Eric, on that one, unfortunately. And, that one I disagree with you. I think it's quite clearly the New York Giants who are in a better position than the New York Jets. I don't think it's debatable. And, you know, this has nothing to do with me being a Giant fan. I know we're all incapable of separating our opinions from our teams, apparently. At least that's how a lot of you feel. Yes, they don't have a coach. I don't know if the Jets have one either. That's the point. And the New York Giants have the quarterback. I believe they have the quarterback. They have Scadaboo, the running back. They have Neighbors. They have Burns. They have Carter. They have Dexter Lawrence. But mainly, they have Jackson Dart. They have Andrew Thomas at left tackle to protect him. The offensive line was better this year. They are just, and they're going to have a better draft pick. So they're going to have a top draft pick. They're going to have, I would think, a choice of the best coaching candidate out there. Like, we'll go through it. Jerry and I kind of went through it yesterday, the different teams that could be fired, could be firing their head coaches. I would think Tampa Bay, if they fire Todd Bowles, could be a very interesting place to go. They have a lot of talent in the weapon department. I do like Baker Mayfield and his toughness. I could see Tampa Bay, and especially in a division that's kind of down and weak, although the East isn't all that good, but they do have the Eagles, they have the Cowboys, who traditionally at least play well, Dak Prescott, and they've got Daniels, who's one of the better young quarterbacks, and when healthy, took them to the conference championship last year. I would think Tampa Bay maybe could be a really appealing job. I'd have to go through them all, but that's the only other one. I think the Giants are going to be the best job on the market. Considering Jackson Dart, considering a top pick, considering the New York market, considering a legacy franchise, I would think the only thing that would scare me is what we saw Liam Cohen do, right? Liam Cohen said no to Jacksonville, and then they fired the general manager, and then he said yes. So that's the only thing that scares me. How many of these coaches are going to be turned down or turned off by having this general manager here, Joe Shane, with all of these losses attached to him? And it's not even so much, like, I get the pushback on that is, a lot of people think he's smart. You know, he did have a decent enough draft. Like, the perception of him around the league is fine. Like, okay, maybe it's not, I think this guy's an idiot and I don't want to work for him. Maybe it's just, well, he's got so many losses attached to him. I have one losing season. There goes the GM. And now am I on stable footing? It's not even just, Joe Shane's an idiot, I don't want him. It's Joe Shane has a ton of losses attached to his name. If I get off to a shaky start year one, they could fire the general manager, and now they're going to bring in a new general manager who maybe he doesn't like me. Same thing with a quarterback. A coach doesn't want to have the GM fired underneath him, have the rug pulled out from underneath him, and lose the guy who hired him and believed in him, and then they bring in another guy, and now I got to work on that relationship. Bob and Edison, what's up, Bob?
Morning, Chris. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Long time Jet fan, diehard, degenerate. Going into this year, there were minimal expectations, to say the least.
I think that's. I think that's fair. I think it was better than this, but yes, I think there was an expectation of probably not being a playoff team, but being competitive on some level.
Right. Aaron Glenn said, "You know what? We're yada yada." What raised my alarm bells was at home getting their doors blown off.
Bob, I got to let you go. I'm sorry. Your phone keeps. But you said enough. You said enough. Aaron Glenn said, it really doesn't matter what he said, so it's fine that your phone cut out. And then getting their doors blown off at home by everybody. So it worked out. We got the gist of your phone call without hearing it. Steve in Naples. What's up, Steve?
Hey, so I guess I already know what you think about Malik Willis. I mean, I like him better than any of the quarterbacks coming out. So I think that would be the way to go for the Jets. He's got the arm for the Meadowlands also. Plus, he's a really, really good kid and really a great competitor. But I have a Giant comment, too. You know, the Giants are in a worse spot than people think.
Okay.
With Malik Nabers with the ACL and Scataboo with that injury, mm-hmm. they are not going to be the same. They're not. So I'll tell you, the Giants need to be looking for another wideout.
Well,
they need to
I
look
agree
for
with
a
that
tight
anyway.
End that can catch. Right. They need to look for a tight end that can catch the ball. And you know what? Tyrone Tracy isn't that bad, but they cannot depend upon Scataboo and Nabers to be what they were.
I disagree with that. What indicate? I mean, we have seen guys come back off of ALCSs and ALCSs. We have seen guys come off that injury.
ACL
tears and come back and have MVP seasons. I don't think there's any.
Other than Saquon and Adrian Peterson, we haven't really seen many wide receivers come back from a torn ACL.
Yeah,
His foot was at 180 degrees.
He's already walking around with no boot. Like he's already. Well, I would not listen. I'm not saying. First of all, I feel you're going to have to rely on Nabers to be your number one wide receiver. I mean, they have no choice. Right, so do they have to go out and get another wide receiver? Yeah, they don't have anybody else. Like Slayton's, I doubt is going to be on the team. Wandale Robinson has proven to be a very nice slot receiver, but I don't think he is, you know, somebody I look at as a clear number two wide receiver in this league to go along with Nabers. I'm going to be looking for a wide receiver anyway. Theo Johnson, I agree with you. The hands scare me. I do think he gets separation. I do think he's big. I like him. I don't know if I would necessarily put tight end at the forefront of what they need, but I would always I'm looking for to improve at every position. But I'm willing to trust Scataboo to some level. Running backs are always dicey. I never go into the year like I think it's dangerous. We've talked about this with Saquon Barkley. It worked for them last year. We'll see if it works for him again this year. But I don't like going into the season with my best player and the player I need to be my best player as a running back. I don't think teams like that are built that very well. Like, I don't like that team. I know they won a Super Bowl last year. I'm not saying it's impossible. They also have one of the best overall rosters in the sport, and their GM is as smart as any executive in sports, let alone football. But, like, if I'm going into the season and it's like, wow, if Scataboo isn't a great running back, we're screwed. Then my team's not very good. So, but I have no reason to think he can't come back. He's already walking around on the boot. They said the injury was as good as it could be. The surgery went as successful as it could be. I think they can rely on them. Now, to be exactly what they were, Malik Nabers had 1 year. I'm still not fully healthy. I'm still not exactly sure what Malik Nabers is. But I don't think there's any question they're in a. We have seen teams turn it around. There is no reason, and I've said this for a couple weeks, there is no reason in my mind. With how what I believe Jackson Dart can be in this league. If they get the right head coach, they can absolutely be this year's Chicago Bears, this year's New England Patriots. Last year, both of those teams were terrible. Terrible. The Patriots were 1-6, and I think the Bears were 1-9 in their last 10, and the Patriots were 1-6 in their last 7. They were awful down the stretch. They were bad teams, and now they both have won their divisions. And are dangerous teams. There is no doubt in my mind the Giants can be this year's version of either of those if they're smart enough to hire the right head coach. I think there's enough talent there. I think they're going to get more talent, and I think Jackson Dart is that kind of quarterback. It's a much better outlook. If we're doing the Jet-Giant thing, which we don't have to, but if we're doing the Jet-Giant thing, I don't think there is a doubt that the Giants are in a far superior situation than the Jets are. Dennis in Weartown. What's up, Dennis?
Hey, how you doing today, Chris? Listen, there's a couple of points I want to make about the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, if I haven't met Mike Tannenbaum, I might sucker punch him because his 33rd team is the one that actually sat there during an interview process of 14 candidates, and this is the best candidate that they put in front of Woody Johnson. This is the thing that mind boggles me.
Well, I mean, he was a well deserving candidate. I would have hired an offensive minded head coach if I was going first year coordinator type. I feel very strongly about that. Even for the Giants now, I do not want a first year defensive coordinator as the head coach. If I'm going proven winner at head coach, then I don't mind as much. But if I'm going to give a young coordinator a chance, it's going to be offensive. But it's not like he didn't have a resume to be a head coach in this league.
Okay, but hear me up. Okay, you got Brian Flores, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who I think is getting a major raw deal in the league right now. Okay, mm-hmm. That's just my opinion.
Yeah.
Okay, but he was a proven winner in Miami. He actually had that team playing very well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, his defensive coordinator record blows away Aaron Glenn's defensive coordinator record. Every team he touches a coordinator has been a solid defense. He was my second choice as a fan behind Vrabel, which I knew Vrabel was a pipe dream.
Right.
You know, I just knew that. But I would have hired him over Aaron Glenn. Listen, Aaron Glenn wasn't a great defensive coordinator. He wasn't. If you look at his defenses, they weren't that great there. They had some really good players, and it took, 3 years? Jet fans aren't going to want to wait around till that team turns around for 3 years. But here's the thing I am going to say about Woody Johnson, right? And it's not a good thing, okay? He sticks on, like you said, you're right. He holds on to guys. Like, he does it all the time. He gave a lot of these coaches chances, and he even gave Gase 2 years, even though Christopher was running the team.
Yeah.
He's going to give this guy 2 years. He's going to. I would love to sit here and say, come Sunday night, I'm going to read on the bottom line that they're parting ways. But it's not going to happen. And I don't know if you said it or somebody else said it. When they're 1-7 next year, and he's going to fire him then next year, and you just lost a whole other year where you could have just cut bait now.
Yeah, I mean, well, yeah, that's the scary nature of it. And especially, and that to me, that goes hand in hand with the decision of the quarterback, too. Like, for those of you who want, and, you know, the caller went on to say other things, and we didn't get back to the Malik Willis. It's not that I think Malik Willis stinks or that he will never be a successful quarterback. I don't think he's overly that good. I think we've seen a handful of games. Not that he was not that everything went well for him in Tennessee or given a great opportunity in Tennessee, but, like, we've seen him. There's a reason he's bounced around. Like, I'm not opposed to it, but here's the issue with that. Are you going to win with Malik Willis? Like, that's what you have to ask yourself. If you are of the mindset that next year's quarterback draft class, led by Archie Manning or whoever else, if you believe that's the better draft class, you'll have 3 picks, right? You'll be able to move up into the draft. Like, you know, teams just trade away opportunities to draft quarterbacks left and right in this league. But sure, fine, you have 3 draft picks. You'll be able to move up no matter where you are and get the quarterback next year. There'll be more guys in the draft next year. It'll be easier to get them next year, pay less a steep price next year. Let's just get a veteran quarterback and let's go about that next year and then focus on the quarterback the year after that. Like, if that's your thought process, whether it's Malik Willis or give me another veteran quarterback. I see Mac Jones here on one of the callers. Mac Jones, right? Are you going to win with them? That's the question. Because if you're not, if you don't believe the Jets are good enough to win with Malik Willis, win. And I mean win. I mean be a playoff team. Be in contention to be a playoff team. Give a good competitive season. Not just not as bad as this year. Just like actually be a competitive good football team. If you're not, well then what, like, you're going to have a coach that has 2 years, a GM that has 2 miserable years attached to them. Then you're going to draft a rookie quarterback. You know what happens to rookie quarterbacks for the most part?
you know, minus C.J. Stroud and Jaden Daniels, you know what typically happens to rookie quarterbacks? They struggle and you lose. Now you're talking about three losing seasons. And on that third losing season, is the rookie quarterback's first year, and now you're changing offensive schemes on them and coaches, because we all know, Giant fans just lived it, you can't go into a fourth year. It's very, very unlikely this regime, coach and general manager, will get a fourth year of losing. So you lose this year, you give me a crappy veteran quarterback next year, I lose. I draft a rookie quarterback the year after that, I probably lose. Now I'm changing everything mid-quarterback cycle. Like, the timing sucks. You're making the decision now, make all the decisions now.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.